Warning, this episode of Talking to the Dead contains swearing and is only suitable for mature audiences.
Tune out the noise and tune out the agendas of others and simply allow you to be you.
This is Talking to the Dead with Janet Kubik. She has a lot of allergies today, so she is scratching her face and coughing. But here she is, Janet Kubik. Hi, Janet.
Oh, thanks so much for sharing, Joe.
Well, I do say that also because a lot of times your little cough indicates that spirit's coming forward. But today you've had regular coughs, you were saying to me. Just something's in my throat cough.
Good old-fashioned allergies. Yay.
Yeah. Okay, so I mentioned in the last podcast that your fan base is growing quietly but steadily. And I say quietly because I think that a lot of people, because of the nature of what you do, it's not like when you see a new band or comedian, you send it to everyone on your friends list. This spirituality is a little more personal. I think people, you know, aren't quite ready to necessarily send it out, but we do get emails and we do get messages from people. And I had someone come forward in a direct message. She gave her authority to mention her name. Her name's Jessie. She's from Virginia in the United States. And she asked that we do an episode on near-death experiences because she had one. Yeah, so we will set that aside for another day. But it got near-death experiences in my head. And so I started Googling and wondering if there is a celebrity who's no longer with us but that had a near-death experience. So I Googled celebrities who have had near-death experiences. Sharon Stone, Stephen King, Burt Reynolds, they all had their heart stopped, they saw the light, they felt love, the sort of cliche, if you will, as far as near-death experiences go. But then I saw someone and I thought, this person would make a great guest on the show. So I'm going to see if you can call her forward. So I wrote her name down. And then I went to bed, and as I was thinking about her, I thought, she played the person from our last episode, Cleopatra, in a 1960s movie. So can you bring forward Elizabeth Taylor?
Wow, that's so cool. Okay, all of you have to realize the anticipation that I've been feeling with this episode because, you know, as often is the case, you know, I don't necessarily know what we're going to be doing when we record. Joe made it very clear that he had an agenda for today. He had an idea. Yes. About what he wanted to do, and he felt really excited about it, but he gave me no indication.
I just thought that because you always say there are no coincidences. And when I wrote her down and I felt good about it, I thought, Elizabeth Taylor, she's not just a Hollywood star. She was a Hollywood icon, right? She represented Hollywood, the glory days from the 50s, 60s. And then when I thought she actually played Cleopatra, who was our last guest, I thought, this is not a coincidence, is it?
Well, and so funny that you bring that forward because literally when you said that the person who you were going to ask to have us chat with today played Cleopatra, I got an immediate body tingle through my body. So I think that's a really good sign. And so what I'm doing right now, again, just to give you all some context, is I'm sort of putting it out there to my guides to help to facilitate the connection and communication with Elizabeth Taylor, sort of inviting her to come forward if she has something to share. And immediately, you've picked somebody that I don't really know, but I tend to not really know a lot of people. I think I've led a very quiet sort
of you know me, and that's life. All that matters.
Yeah. I mean, I spent so much time and even more recently in the last several years, I've spent so much more time connecting with spirit. I just am so oblivious to what's going on, you know, in the world of celebrity and all of this stuff. So, and politics too.
Someone actually, I said that we do get a lot of emails and like private messages. Someone also did mention, they said, I get the sense that Janet doesn't really keep up with pop culture. Well, she's got kids and a husband and yeah, like, she's got things to do. Yeah.
And you know what? It's so fair to say. It really is fair to say. Like, actually, just the other day, my dad said something and brought forward a news story, and I hadn't heard anything about it, of course. And he's like, don't you watch the news? And I said, absolutely not.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that can be a topic for another day. But no, really. So for me, when you bring these people forward, I mean, I obviously have a sense of who Elizabeth Taylor is, or, you know, was in this life. I don't know a lot of details, but I do have a sense of who she is. And what I am sort of feeling and keep sort of getting is this need to move my hair. So I don't know if that was like a physical characteristic of hers or a physical sort of trait that she had when she was alive, but there is some connection with to sort of like sweeping her hair back off of her face. No, I don't. Oh, sorry. I got completely distracted. I was about to say, I don't even know what I was about to say. Completely distracted. So with that said, let me try to hone in. She says, I'm honored and delighted to be with you today. She says, I have a slight or small misconception to clear up about who I was or how I was more clearly in the human experience. And she says, I was very committed to being a strong force to be reckoned with. She said, however, in doing that, I was often referred to, and we're going to have to mark this explicit because she says, a bitch.
Oh, well.
She has an elegance to her. The way I'm seeing her visually is sort of in her later years. There is gray. I'm seeing gray in her hair. And it feels like she's showing me a shorter cut. And again, you know, I'm just bringing forward whatever she's giving me, but she is talking about her hair and showing me her hair. And it's like a very short, much shorter and layered sort of look that she has. And she says it is important because she says, this is the time in my life when I really started to become wise.
Okay.
And she said, all of these years or those years of experience, she really learned a lot about living and living life, you know, and being human. And it was in those latter or later years where she really started to not care so much anymore. And this feels like sort of maybe where she started to get a bit of a reputation for maybe being a little bit bitchy, because it feels like she just started to really come into her own, is another way it comes across, where she was so much or far less concerned with what others thought of her and was much more connected to what she wanted, what she needed, what she felt, and sort of doing what she wanted to do without sort of being told. Like, I'm seeing publicists and, you know, all those people that that work with celebrities and icons to help them, you know, with their brands and things like that and what they put out to the people. And she says she talks about being a little bit short with them, having a little less patience or tolerance for them and what they had to say, because she was becoming more and more confident that the key to living in the human, living a human life or in a human experience was about being authentic.
To confirm, it's Elizabeth Taylor.
Okay.
Is it?
That's how it feels to me. Yes. I would say, okay, from what I'm feeling in my experience, I would say that, yes, this is Elizabeth Taylor.
I just wanted to double check. So because I had a little more time to prepare this time, because I chose her, or maybe she chose me secretly when I was dreaming or something like that. I had a little more time to prepare.
Okay.
So, just for those who maybe are a little bit younger and don't know who she is, I'll give a quick bio. She was a child star. She was born in England, moved to California with her family. And she had her first, I think, acting role at 12 years old. And then she became a sort of a sex symbol, I guess you could call it. She has 2 Academy Awards. Something that she's known for is that she was married 8 times to 7 men.
Wow. That's a lot.
Yeah. So she married the same guy twice. That's how you do the math on that, right?
Right.
So she married him, divorced him, and then remarried him, and then divorced him again. But I do have a question, just some sort of... the other thing she was known for later in life was just... She was kind of one of the first people that was famous for being famous. Sort of when people say Paris Hilton, what is she famous for? She's famous for being famous. Strange coincidence. Her first husband was Conrad Hilton Jr., Paris Hilton's great uncle, which I thought was an odd coincidence. And she was one. She was actually the first celebrity to have a fragrance in the 80s.
Oh, wow.
And then I think later in life, and maybe this, I wanted to ask her what instigated that sort of feeling of being wise and not caring. She said, not caring so much. One of her co-stars, Rock Hudson, was dying of HIV/AIDS. And she started the, I don't know if it's called the American AIDS Foundation or whatever it is, but she started that. So she's known as a Hollywood icon, but also as a philanthropist, which I think is interesting.
So as you said that last sort of piece there about setting up that support organization, I heard this statement, and let me try to get it exactly how I heard it. It was that she discovered there was more that mattered than her. And she says that for so long she was in this bubble where she was made to feel like she was the only thing that mattered. What she wore, how she looked, you know, what bikini she wore on and on whose yacht.
Right.
But she started at that time to really get a sense of mortality and a sense of what really truly did matter. And she says, and it wasn't how I looked. And again, she keeps sort of showing me herself again in the later years, where she's a little heavier set at this time. Like her clothes, she's dressed beautifully, very elegantly, very classy, but it's loose and long and sort of like it's not hugging her body or fitted. And again, she's got sort of this shorter hairstyle. She does say something though about always loving the jewelry, the jewels.
See, again, skeptics are going to say, oh, you told Jen ahead of time, but one of my points was here was she had one of the most expensive private jewelry collections in the world.
Get out.
Yeah.
Okay, because that's what she's showing me. She's showing me, and they're like big, and, you know, I wouldn't want to be offensive in using the word gaudy, but I'm just using it sort of as a descriptor, like in terms of like kind of over the top, like big. They're not just like little pearls and things.
Okay.
They look like, at least the ones that I'm seeing at this time, there's a lot of them and they're sort of oversized. And she says they were statements for her. She says they represented the beauty of this earthly experience. A lot of the jewels, she says, were either inspired by or literally came from the earth itself. It does feel like there's a reference there to emeralds and also to diamonds. So she says in some sort of unorthodox way, it made her feel more grounded, more connected to the human experience when she was wearing these jewels or when she was adorned with these jewels. That was another Cleopatra word I think she used a couple times, adorned.
Huh, yeah.
Yeah. And it's funny because she sort of, as an aside, is saying, yes, playing Cleopatra was a highlight for her. And it was challenging because she wanted to be true to her as much as she possibly could. She says it was one of the few times that she actually played another living person or person that had lived as opposed to a character.
Right.
And so she really wanted to embody and embrace all that Cleopatra was, because there was so much about her strength and femininity that Elizabeth Taylor really, I wanted to say Elizabeth, and I felt like that was too informal. So I was like, Elizabeth Taylor, that she sort of connected with. So she really enjoyed that process. She says, oh, this is interesting. She says, I really enjoyed letting her into my being, or letting her into my body, is how she says it, not being. She said, I really enjoyed letting her into my body. And it almost feels like she sort of adopted this way of moving a stature while she was playing that role that she felt was being really influenced by the energy and the spirit and the experience, she says, of Cleopatra herself. Okay, and she sort of paused. It feels like she's sort of letting you ask another question if you have another one.
Well, just a comment you said about you felt weird calling her Liz or Elizabeth, or her name's Elizabeth Taylor, but the actual name is Dame Elizabeth Taylor. It means that she was like knighted by the Queen of England. So wow. That's the female knight. So she's we got another royal person.
Another one.
Sir and Robin Williams.
Sir, yes. And as you say that, she steps in and she says it was a title that she didn't really ever feel she deserved. She said, if I really felt like I was getting the recognition for my body of work or my talent, she said, I would have felt better about it. She said, but I felt it was more because of my status or my stature within, you know, pop culture or society, or in the sort of celebrity, what's the word she's using? I can't quite pick it up. Oh, that's frustrating. And almost the sense I get is like almost the celebrity world, but I feel like she has another way of saying that I'm just not able to clearly hear. She says that was another piece of sort of realization, or almost like I hear the word reckoning within her own soul or herself, where she started to look back at all of the opportunities she'd been given and all that she had. And there is a connection to money, all the money and the riches and the fame and the wealth. And she started to go through this period where she really was unable to kind of reconcile with how she'd earned it. And when she talks about that, she shows me a visual. Actually, to me, it almost looks very much like Audrey Hepburn. But it's a visual of that sort of time frame, black and white, hair sort of swooped up. And she is wearing this sort of very structured bikini. So it has like almost more of a structured cup. And like a bit of a fuller bottom. So that may be an indication of the time period. And that's maybe why she's calling attention to the details of it. But she's sort of looking back at those days. And she says, so many people wanted me for all the wrong reasons.
Explain.
It wasn't about... She's saying that it wasn't necessarily in the beginning, at least for sure. It wasn't about who she was. It was about how she looked and about the persona. She says there was something very attractive to people or to the public about her persona. She felt very like someone that people sort of looked up to or aspired to be. She comes across as if she had like this air of wealth and elegance and, you know, societal standing, and glamorous. And so it was very attractive to people. But she says, but that is really sort of what launched her or propelled her in her sort of, I'm getting like more late teens to early 20s. She says that she had worked before, and I think you mentioned that at the beginning of the episode, that she had worked, but she said, I was even a beautiful child. So she said that even played into her initially sort of getting started, that there was something about the way she looked, you know, whether she was classically beautiful or there was just some uniqueness about how she looked. But a lot of what she'd done in her life was connected to this persona, but it wasn't really about who she was as a person. And she says that it wasn't until Rock started to decay, and that's how she describes it, that it really hit home to her that there was just so much more. There was so much more about her that hadn't been explored, hadn't been tapped into, certainly hadn't been shown with the world, because it might have conflicted with this sort of, you know, very feminine, glamorous, I almost get the word flighty, sort of ideal that she represented. But as she grew and as she saw her friends experiencing very real, challenging, trying human experiences, it began to shift her. And then she's just sort of paused again.
I did watch a couple of like the YouTube biographies on her and things like that. And one of them sort of mentioned, so I think back in the day, I don't think this happens anymore, but I think movie studios used to sign actors to like a 7-movie deal, kind of like a record label might do with back in the day with a band, like, we own you for this many. So, because one of the stories they were telling was about MGM, how they wanted to give her that persona, like you're describing, where she's sort of above everyone else. One of their weddings, they completely controlled the location, all of the details of it, because they wanted they wanted her to come across as a certain way, of course, to sell more tickets for the next movie. So I think in the early days, MGM, and I'm doing the air quotes, owned her, kind of thing.
You know what's so funny that you say that? Because literally as you started to tell that story, I heard her say, and I was going to wait till you were finished, but I'm going to interject it now. She said, don't ever let anyone own you.
Ah.
And then you just said owned with the air quotes. So yeah, I was holding on to that until you were finished, but yeah, that's what she said. Don't ever let anyone own you. Yeah. Other than yourself, she says, other than yourself, you are the only one who truly knows you, who truly can't quite get it. Hold on. Who something along the lines of, you're the only one who actually lives your life. You're the only one who walks in your own shoes, who knows what your sore feet feel like, who knows what it feels like when you put your head on the pillow and turn the lights out at night. You are the only one, regardless of how many people love and adore you, how many people want you to sign something for them or have posters of you on their walls. She says, they don't know you. They can't know you in the way that you know you. So don't ever let anyone take that away from you.
She mentions sore feet, and one of the points I had written down was that she had a lot of ailments. She had hip operations. She had a brain tumor that was benign but was removed. She had battled skin cancer. And then she had some addiction problems. She actually admitted herself into a rehab clinic, and she suffered also from obsessive compulsive disorder, OCD. It's funny that you would bring up physical ailments. She had a lot of them.
Well, and as you say that, Joe, what she's saying to me is that that was her body's way of trying to bring her back down to earth. that was her body's way of trying to say to her that this life you're trying to live, this person you're trying to be, is taking too much of a toll, because you're not being allowed or allowing yourself to be free, to be who you are. And so it's like her body kept trying to sort of shake her almost, or you know, poke her into reality. And she says, but it wasn't until I saw it happen to my friend, someone I loved, she said, because to be frank, I had trouble loving myself. So when I had the opportunity to witness someone who I truly did love so much, with so much of my heart, experience what he did, that was when they got through to me. And when she said they, I'm actually sort of asking her, they, and she's who she's referring to when she says they, and she's saying spirit, but not just spirit that, you know, live where I live now, but the spirit that was inside of me, the spirit that I was when I was walking the earth, that spirit needed to step up and push everything else aside and take the lead. And it was once my heart got deeply affected enough by witnessing the strife of someone whom I truly, truly loved, that's when it became clear. And she's paused.
Cool. I do have a couple of fun questions, if she's willing to answer them. Is she up for some fun? Dame Elizabeth Taylor. Okay.
Oh, sorry. She says something about, I wasn't as much of a stick in the mud as some might have perceived me to be. Or above, she says, they tried to paint me as above things, like having fun or just being silly. Or she says, but truthfully, you know, everyone wants to laugh and to just be relaxed. Is that what she's saying? So anyway, okay, go ahead and we'll see what we get.
Okay. Elizabeth Taylor, some sources say your eyes were purple, which is very rare. It's like a very, very minute percentage of the world have purple eyes. And then some say, well, they were kind of blue. What color are your damn eyes?
Oh, it's so cute. She says, you mean what color were my eyes?
Were your eyes?
Yes, she says, we need to be careful about what we are sort of told to believe. Actually, the way she sort of says it is led to believe. She says, because we are often led to believe. She keeps sort of reiterating it that way. We're led to believe certain things. She says, regardless, my eyes indeed were beautiful.
I'll take that as blue, because every picture I found of her, I zoomed in, and I'm like, that's not purple, right? Who knows? Yeah. Like, maybe one of her movies, they had a certain lighting on her and it looked purple, whatever. And then, of course, MGM to try and make her seem more unique,
yes,
right?
Because that's what she says. And she says, and it added to that persona. It made me more desirable. Something that's rare or unique is something more sought after. So, you know, whatever the circumstances were that led someone to believe that my eyes indeed were purple, and then she says something about more violet in hue, it was you know, misconstrued, it was manipulated into being what they wanted it to be in order to serve their own agendas. She says, this is so much the way that the world currently operates. And she says, if anything, you take anything from my, you know, joining you today, let it be that what is out there, what is presented to you, is leading you to believe. And it's leading you to believe what suits another. So And then it's funny because it's sort of like, again, with so many of the celebrity and you know, spirit guests that have come onto this podcast, she says she's sort of reiterating and almost feels bad that she's like reiterating something and not bringing something more new to the table is right. How it comes across. But it is so important to really find that sense of self and not be overly influenced by what is presented. She says, especially through the media, she says, you know, the media is about telling stories and creating pictures and creating and perpetuating personas. She says, yes, there are many news, and for those who are listening, she's doing air quotes, outlets, but she says, just keep in mind that what is being shared, what is being offered, is always serving an agenda. So please just keep this in mind as you watch what you may consider to be the most reliable source for information to guide you in your own life. This is why it is so key and important to tune back into our own intuitions and our own selves so that we're not constantly being led to believe. So that was supposed to be a fun question. It was fun, but yeah, it got a little heavy at the end there. But that's a really powerful message.
Well, this is her chance to say what she wants to say. I do have another fun question that she can turn it to fun or serious. It's up to her. So the floor is hers. She was raised Christian Scientist and converted to Judaism, I think, in her late teens. What religion are you now?
Okay, let me see where we go with this one, because she didn't immediately jump in, so okay. That's interesting because she has done that sort of previously as we've been talking.
I've stunned her with the question.
Yeah, I think it feels almost like she's being a little more careful with her words, and I don't know if she's doing that because that's how she feels, or if she's trying to be respectful of like this platform, you know, sort of my own personal situation where, you know, I like to leave things open and try not to make, you know, too many judgments or statements, because it just, you know, I think everybody who's watching kind of knows how I like to handle things. So I think she's trying to be a little bit respectful of that. But I am going to hone in, and I'm going to see if she will bring that forward. She says, again, my friends, it's really truly about finding what inside of you speaks to you. She says, there's safety in structure. We find a sense of security in being told what is right and what is wrong and what is good or what is bad and what should be and shouldn't be done. She says, but ultimately that internal barometer is what is best to be your guide. She said, I did explore. I explored many outlets or opportunities to try to find that sense of peace that a religion or a spirituality is sort of intended to do. And she does show me that she sort of waffled, is the word I kind of get. Like, she wasn't sort of set on one belief system or on one way of doing things or on one set of rules or one set of beliefs. It was just sort of an amalgamation of different things. She also says that we often are led to different outlets or different opportunities or experiences at different times. So, you know, there was a time where Christianity served her well, but then there were times where she learned other things and was supported in other ways by Buddhism. Oh. Or other forms of spirituality. And she says, ultimately, what really is of importance is to find what suits you. And more so even what serves you or supports you. Because at the underlying foundation of all of these forms of religions or belief systems and structures is the true intent of being supportive or guidance and help. So if you can look past sort of all of the rules and restrictions and sort of choose what fits for you, it's more about connecting with the underlying current of it all, which is the love and support that is needed by you all as you travel and are being humans. So this is one of those times where I don't even really know exactly what I said, so I'm not sure I answered your question, or I should say she answered your question. So did she, or do I need
she
to
did.
Explore? Okay.
No, she did, but, you know, I was trying to ask a fun question. And she, okay. Yeah, she's getting all serious.
She keeps doing that.
Come on, Liz. Lighten up.
Yeah.
Okay. I don't have any more questions that pop into my mind. Does she have any final words about anything at all?
So as you say that, the phrase that I did hear was, let it be more about you instead of what others want from you or what others want you to be. She says the true benefit or joy and the best possible experience you can have being a human is to really be who you were intended to be without the influence of everybody else. Follow your own heart, follow your own soul. Your spirit's inside you and it knows. It knows what you're there to do and it knows what you deserve and what you can have in this experience or that experience. So tune out the noise and tune out the agendas of others and simply allow you to be you. And then they just said that is all for now. Thank you, Elizabeth Taylor.
Yes. Cool. How you doing? Yeah. How you doing, Janet?
I'm good.
Fun one.
Yeah, a little heavy, but also fun too. And cool for me, again, that it was sort of a nice surprise. And I got to learn something more. So maybe I'm not as outdated with pop culture anymore as I was when we started.
Well, she said she can be light and fun too. Every fun question I asked her, she answered with seriousness. She was just the mood she was in.
I guess so. Yeah.
Okay, so thank you to, first of all, to Jesse from Virginia for kind of leading us down the path to this episode. Thank you to Elizabeth Taylor. Thank you to Janet Kubik, who's sitting with me right now over Zoom. And thank you to Myrtle, the gatekeeper, for allowing Elizabeth Taylor through. And thank you to you, all of you, for listening. Before we go, I'd like to mention to please rate, review, subscribe, and share this content with anyone that you think might be interested in it. Also visit janetkubik.com, JanetKubik.com. Sign up for her email list there. We will not spam you. We will just send you once every time something cool happens, like a podcast release. Okay?
Thank you so much, Joe. Thank you, everybody else. And we'll see you soon.